Well, most of you here know Henry or are familiar with Henry Groover, our dear family member also, who lives all over the world. But his main residence, I think, is Woodbine for now. But he has rendered love in hearts all over the planet, actually. But his family lives, part of his family lives in Woodbine, Iowa. Whoa, that was fun. And you all know Peter. And of course, Peter and Teresa were married this weekend, and most of you know that. And they're doing great. They're in Oregon and having a wonderful time. And we'll see them in a week or so. But we had the privilege of sharing and being with Henry and Judith and meeting many of the family this weekend for the wedding. And it was just such a joy just to see the extension of Henry and Judith in a different way. You've seen Pete and know him so well. But just to get to know the rest of the family was glorious. And you have been standing and praying for Judith and her healing and for her deliverance. And we believe that there's been a shift and a change. And we just praise God for that at the rehearsal, right prior to the rehearsal. And we're believing that that's continuing, that she will experience the fullness of the manifestation of the healing that the Groover family and many others have been contending for. So we give a good report and we say, praise you, Lord. We're going to continue to press through and wait for the fullness so there's no distress at all in Judith's life or Henry's watching his beloved go through a difficult time. Well, Henry is loaded with all kinds of stories and he's saving them for us tonight, and stories meaning true accounts of what he's experienced, what the Lord has taken him through. And so he gave me a little bird's eye view this afternoon, but not too much because we want to hear some fresh, get some fresh manna from heaven. But I also want to highlight a few things that Henry has brought that are familiar to many of us, but maybe for some not in this place, some books and things in the back on the table in the foyer. And just to let you know, that's free will offering. So if you find something out there you would like to take, great, but put something in the can out there as well. That would be great because that's part of this for keeping us accountable to the Lord. But crosswise, Visions of a Walker is this one in English? Are they all in English, these ones? Because I know some are in Portuguese. Crosswise, Visions of a Walker. This is an amazing book. This is a reprint, though, isn't it? It's the... reprinted a couple of times, so it has a new cover, but this has the visions also included. This is a kind of an upgrade, too, from the original, isn't it? It's all visions, so this is very fun. For all you seers, you would like to have something like this. But again, and if you need one that's not out there, I want to show it to you because I think he has some in the trunk. And we'll bring more out, so come and grab one of us up here if you don't see that. That's awesome. And he did not ask me to do this. I'm doing this on my own. And there's a brochure about Joyful Sound Ministries. And also, this is one by George Mueller. This would be valuable selections from the writings of George Mueller, who is a man of great faith and a man who lived a life of great faith, who is able to be a mentor for many who are standing and believing for the impossible and living just totally from a level of faith. So rather than just talking about it, this is the man who lived it. So this is also a wonderful selection. And, I grabbed a couple. And then you had one more. Is that in there? Where is it? This one. Is that cross? Yes. Most of you in the Frontline Training Center have this. So if you don't, find it. But this is Crosswise, a Prayer Walker's Handbook. And if you don't have this, you need it. This is excellent and has been printed, as I said, in Portuguese. Anything else, Henry? Just in Portuguese right now.
That's in English.
But this one is. But we've taken that to Mozambique with us and other places. So Brazil has some of these in Portuguese, which is great. And so this is a wonderful handbook for all of us who are following the footsteps of those who are leading the way for prayer walking. And this is a great tool. So if you don't have this, and if you've taken one already from years of Henry being around, don't take one tonight, please, because I don't know how many he has. But leave it for those who would like to have one. It's an excellent book. And I think, was that the last one? No, there's one more. I don't think it's out there, Henry. I didn't see it. We'll get it. Rebirth of Judah. Will, can you see if that's out there? Rebirth of Judah? I didn't see it on the table. No, Troy says no. We'll have to get it from the trunk. You want to get that? Somebody want to go out with Henry so he can not have to carry in? But just the last one is Help for the Disquieted Soul. And this is Judith's book. She wrote this about a year ago, or was actually in process before she became very ill 2 years ago. So I don't know exactly when it was finished. But anyway, it's an awesome book. I've read it. It's the study of Psalms 42 and 43. And this is from Judith's heart and perspective, living and walking a road of suffering, but being an overcomer in the midst of it. It's really excellent. So that would be also another book for you that you can enjoy. So that's where we are. So Henry's gone. He's our speaker today. But he'll be back. Amen. Yay, God. I'll just kind of wait so we can come in and... Well, maybe I won't because he already knows about himself. So Henry has been to many, many, many countries around the world and has internationally prayer walked and has been brought into the presence of kings and rulers, presidents in very remarkable supernatural ways. And he's had a lot of different experiences in governmental positions. He's traveled and walked in very dangerous areas as well. He has seen the Lord's favor, experienced it, where doors have been opened up to him to be able to be a person of influence from the Spirit, to be able to influence the those who are in authority in a worldly sense, to be able to help them in a way in terms of government, which is wonderful. So he's been sharing and just being a friend with us, an advisor for Frontline as well, and of course Peter's father for many years. He has a testimony. I don't know if he'll share it tonight, but back we were talking about it today, that in 2003, many of us in here were praying for him when he was dying of cancer at another church. We couldn't remember the year at first, but it was 2003, and he was literally on his last legs. And as he was going up to speak from the basement, two angels picked him up and carried him because he didn't have the physical strength, because it was a fairly small church, and the church wasn't... those people weren't in that church, even after he explained it that night. So two big guys picked him up and brought him, and we went up and prayed for him, a group, and he was healed. He was dying of cancer. So it's a very, very powerful story and testimony. So we were reliving that tonight. Many of you were part of that. So God has brought Henry into our midst, and we just praise God for your life. Henry, I just talked about you while you were gone. So everything you already know, we just said, but we love you so much. And we praise God for your life. I'm going to give you the mic so you have plenty of time here. Can we just welcome Henry Groover from Joyful Sound Ministries?
Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good to be here. Good. Oh, bless you. Hey, now we're in business. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Rebirth of Judah. Rebirth of Judah versus the Church Glorious. That's not a very big book. It's probably the thinnest book out there. It's a book that I held down inside for 17 years, traveling the earth, watching how it was developing, learning scripturally and geographically what God is getting ready to do in Israel. And then one day, the Lord told me when I was in prayer before I left home to fly out of Omaha, Nebraska, the Lord told me to tell my wife that a man would call that owned a television station, and that he would invite me to speak, and I'd never been on that TV station before, and he would invite me to speak. He would not limit me on what I spoke on or how long as a guest speaker. So I told Judith, my wife, I says, well, you're going to get that call while I'm out of town, so when you do, tell him yes. Before I got to where I was going, the call already went to the church where I was going to. And so the message was waiting for me there. And I called my wife, and she said, your call came in. I says, well, we get a lot of calls, hon. What call? And she says, the TV station. I says, oh, all right, good. Did you tell him yes? She says, yeah, but I didn't know when to tell him because you got the schedule. And I says, oh, sorry. So I told her when. I said, what station is it? She said, it's WTJR, Quincy, Illinois. I said, WTJR, what does that stand for? Work Till Jesus Returns. So it was live on five states around, and I presented it for the first time publicly on WTJR, Work Till Jesus Returns. Then the Lord told me to write it, and put it in writing. So I put it in writing, and we printed it, and the first trip across the country, a lady got a hold of one and took it home to her husband, who was back from Israel. And he called, he read it, said it that night, the rest of the night, read it three times over. The next morning, when he figured our offices were open back in Woodbine, he called and said, "How many of those Rebirth of Judah books are in a box?" She said, 107. He said, "Send me a box, overnight it to me." She said, "Well, I'll have to call Henry and see if we can do that." And he says, "Well, it's all right. I'll overnight to you a payment, a check, or whatever you need. Do you take credit cards?" "No, we don't." So she called me. I says, "Get it to him. He wants to take it to Israel and put it in the hands of the leaders of Israel." So that book is in the hands of all the political, corporate, military leaders of Israel. And it is stirring them up. And I thought for sure we were going to see the rebirth of Judah January this year, when Israel headed down toward Gaza with the tanks and everything. Because if you wonder what that's about, that's what it's about. Israel's being closed in with the Hezbollah over in Lebanon, with Iran ready to build nuclear weapons and not being a bit quiet about their intention of it. And so you see, Jesus said, it's time to stand in the holy place when you see the armies mounting up where? Around about Israel or Jerusalem. So it's happening. And I look at that understanding, the rebirth of Judah versus the church glorious, out of the principle of 1 Corinthians 15:46, where Paul takes 40, 45 verses to talk about all the celestial and the terrestrial and all these things that are in the world as we know them. And then in verse 46, he says, "However, that which was first is not spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual." Well, how does that affect you? You are the spiritual of the natural. In Romans, Paul says, if you are a child of faith, you are the seed of Abraham. But they are biologically the natural seed of Abraham. So Judah, who is historically in the Bible, always called up to go out to battle first and lead into battle first. Judah must come forth now in the natural over there to defend their homeland. And there is a mighty man that God raised up back in the 40s to champion himself, that May the 14th, 1948, Israel would become a nation under the League of Nations. His name was Ariel Sharon. And if you saw just a few days ago, Ariel Sharon just celebrated his 80th birthday. You say, well, we never hear about him anymore. He's in a coma, but he is communicating by squeezing the hand of the person asking him a question once for yes and twice for no. So the Knesset and the leaders of Israel are communicating with the old lion, which they call the old lion. If you want to know the significance of all those details, just in a nutshell, and read that, be ready to have a thorough study of Judah. For you must understand Judah and its place in the natural before you fully understand the place of Judah in the spiritual, which is what we just got through doing, praise. The value of the spiritual is praise. And to the measure you understand Judah in the natural is to the measure of all the different facets and awesomeness of the natural of Judah and what God did. Remember, David came out of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is of the tribe of Judah. All right? Keep that in mind. I see Syria and Mary. Oh, bless you. Bless you, bless you. I just noticed him. I've been asking about Syria. How's she doing? How's she doing? Bless you. Thank you for coming tonight, Mary. I don't know if you two still sing together, do you? You do? You got to hear this, would you? We'd be honored. We'd be honored. You got to do it. Yeah, one more microphone. Woo! Got to have two mics here that are working. Bless you. She battled a stroke about a year and a half ago.
No, this was a Bell's palsy, which was nerve damage.
Oh, it's different.
Yeah,
oh.
Better than a stroke, thank God.
Oh, well, it is a joy to see you.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You. Thank you.
And you, Mary. Bless you. Oh, get ready.
Well, this is a happy song. And we've sung this song at home and abroad in the nations. And everywhere we sing it, no matter what language, it's just a song that brings the joy of the Lord in the house. So help us sing it. Just repeat after me. Come, let us sing.
Come, let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
Come, let us sing.
Come, let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
The Lord Jesus has come. And
His will be done.
For He's put laughter in my soul. Come, let us sing.
Come, let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
Come, let us sing.
Come, let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
The Lord Jesus has come.
Lord Jesus.
And His will be done.
His will be done.
For He's put laughter in my soul. Ho, ho, here we go. Ha, 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 ha.
Ha, 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 ha.
Ho, 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 ho.
Ho, 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 ho,
he, 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 he.
He, 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 he.
Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me.
When He gave me His joy.
When He gave me His joy.
That would have been enough.
That would have been enough.
When He forgave my sin.
He forgave my sin.
That would have been enough.
That would have been enough.
When He saved my soul.
When He saved my soul.
That would have been enough.
That would have been enough.
But Jesus put laughter in my soul. Hey, come let us sing.
Come, let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
Come let us sing.
Come, let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
The Lord Jesus has come.
Lord Jesus has come.
And His will be done. For He's put laughter in my soul. Ho, ho, he, ho, ah, ha, 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 ha. He, 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 he.
Jesus loves me.
When He gave me joy.
When I could find no joy.
When He gave me His love.
When I was all alone.
Jesus put laughter in my soul. Ho, ho, here we go. Ah, 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 ah. Come on, let's get a belly laugh. Ah, 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 ah.
He,
Jesus loves me.
When He gave me joy.
When He gave me joy. Glory.
When He gave me joy.
When He gave me joy. Jesus put laughter in my soul. And let everybody say soul. Ah, ha, ha, ha.
Ho, 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 ho. He, 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 he. Jesus put laughter in my soul. And let everybody say soul. Amen.
Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, I just couldn't deny that. Now you know why. That night that they carried me up the aisle, those two angels carried me up the aisle, dying of cancer. Syria, as they walked by carrying me leaning back behind those two angels. I thought they were just men, but found out later they were angels. As I walked by her, she pointed at me off on this side, and she said, "Brother Henry, you shall live and not die to see the glory of God in the land of the living." And I said, "I'll take it, Syria," but I didn't say it that strong. Only the Lord knew. My spirit kept trying to leave my body that night. And I kept rebuking my spirit and commanding it back into my body because I said, "You will not give your life for cancer. It is not worthy of my life. Jesus is worthy. He gave his life that I might be healed. No way am I giving my life for cancer when Jesus gave his life to take away cancer." Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Now you see why he puts laughter in our soul. Woohoo! Yeah. Oh, blow that trumpet, sister. Woo! Yeah. Amen. Amen. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Woo-hoo. You are the holy mountain of the Lord spiritually. There's one over there they call the holy mountain in the natural. Well, right now, Islam has the Mosque of Omar on it. But that isn't going to stay there forever. Hallelujah. It's going to... Remember that Jesus said the mountain shall depart and the hills will be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What an awesome God. Amen. Oh, my. What an awesome God. It's been 2 years since I've been with you. I wanted to be with you last year, but I was really crunching on the schedule, and Joan was crunching her here. Are you here, Joan? She had to go to Lima, so she's on her way down to Lima. Not Peru, but Lima, Ohio. Some pronounce it Lima. I don't know, but it depends on where you're from. But L-I-M-A is Lima to me. But anyhow. It was just the time when she was scheduling the National Day of Prayer in New Philadelphia. She was so busy, and she forgot y'all. And she felt so bad about it. And she said, one time I had the thought, well, Henry must have scheduled with them and put that in. I didn't. So it might have been my fault, too. But anyhow, 2 years ago, if a prophet would have walked into this room that had never in that his or her history missed one prophecy and would have pointed at me and would have prophesied what I would be doing by October of last year, I would have said to that prophet, "I'm sorry, but I'm going to put that prophecy on the shelf. I will believe it when I see it. Now, I know that is not truly believing. That's a bad saying. Because seeing is not believing. Do you understand that? Not seeing is believing. But it was that vague, it was that far out of what I would be experiencing by October last year that I'm still in total awe. I never would have thought in all my life I would be doing what I was doing from the 23rd of October to the 30th last year. I went into a wrestling match trying to cover Nova Scotia and Vancouver, British Columbia and Vancouver Island in my summer schedule before I'd be in the middle of the summer back in Japan at the theological seminary there. That's a testimony in itself. Fourth year now, Presbyterian Theological Seminary, the biggest theological seminary in Asia. We graduated this year 325 getting their doctorates of theology and divinity. Isn't that awesome? Presbyterian. Any Presbyterians here tonight? Huh? Oh, I thought I saw one hand start up, but it didn't go all the way. It just scratched chin. All right. Half Presbyterian. When I went there 4 years ago, they were Presbyterian. They're not now. That last night, they invite family and all in too, you know. I got 4 days. 4 days. 3 sessions a day, 6 hours a day teaching them spiritual warfare, prayer walking, redeeming the land, going to churches and ministries all over Asia. Isn't that an honor to get to do that? How did I get to do such a thing? The scripture says that your gift will make room for you. Amen? My gift. And the president of that seminary came down in Okinawa with some other pastors, and they just brought him in. There was 21 pastors there, and just brought him in quickly just to have a little bit of the conference and my teaching, and he had to go catch his plane, so these two pastors brought him up and said, he's got to get his plane. He just wants a blessing before you go, before he runs. Okay. So I said, may I lay hands on you? I didn't know who he was. Yeah. Lay hands on his head, and the Lord starts reading his mail. From a little boy up. I didn't know who the man was. Jesus knew his whole history. It was good history he gave. That dear doctor professor went down on his knees bawling. All of a sudden, I see him look at his watch. I'm going to miss my plane. He stands up and says, I have to go. But you come to Osaka in August. I says, no, I don't come to Osaka in August. Too hot. Humidity so high, my brain doesn't work. He says, no, you come to Osaka in August. I says, no, I don't come to Osaka in August. Too hot, too much humidity. 4 times he says it. Finally, he says, you don't understand. I says, you're right. But I wanted to say, but you don't understand. I don't come to Osaka, but I just said, you're right. He says, I am president of biggest theological seminary in all of Asia. I want you to come to Asia, to Osaka and teach my graduates for 4 days, 6 hours a day, 4 days before we give them their doctorates. I looked at him and I said, I'd fly around the world 2 times before I stepped off the plane to do that because I hate long flights. That's what I meant. He says, then you will come. I says, I will be there unless Jesus says absolutely no. He says, then they will come back from the airport and give you the information. We will send you a ticket and take care of you. This is the 4th year. The 1st year, the 3rd night, there were 325 graduates that 1st year. All the professors, the president, and myself, we were all standing up front. I don't know who. We were holding hands at 3rd night. Always ended promptly at 9. Must end at 9. 2-hour sessions promptly. This is school. This is not church. Classroom. You understand? Classroom. Bell rings. You're finished. 9 o'clock. We raise our hands. I don't know who did it in that line. I heard it, though. Who? That's all I heard. Who? I thought, wait a minute. This is Presbyterian. I opened my eyes to look just in time. All 325 graduates falling like trees. The Spirit of God slew every single one of them under the power. Even the 3 cameras went down. 1 camera was looking at a shoulder, 1 at, I think, the floor, 1 at the ceiling. Even the cameramen were slain. The only ones left standing were the professors, the president, and myself. I'm as surprised as they are. I think all of our mouths were open. They were out cold for the longest time. Finally, one stood up, looked around like... And then a big smile came on his face, and he went back. And they began coming up one by one. And then next thing you knew, remember when the charismatic movement began? There was a song would begin to come in waves. It began to come in waves from these laying on the floor. A new song just began to flow. And that started the outpouring of the Spirit of God in that seminary. And it has never been the same since. Woo! Now I thought I had arrived when that happened. Last year, or August now, this year, here's a lady in pantsuit over here. They're worshiping the Lord. We're up on the stage, all of us lined across. Power of God hits her. She rolls up three steps, rolls. Rolls right across in front of us, rolls all the way across the platform, rolls back down, rolls all the way across the front, back up on her feet. Her eyes are tightly closed. Her hands are raised. She doesn't even know what she did. She no more than stands up, and a man, young man over here, student, does the same thing. And right back up, and he's worshiping. When I got up to speak, I says, "You now have graduated. You haven't got your doctorates yet. You're about to, but I want to tell you something. You have now graduated. You are now, how do you say, Presbycostal? We say Baptocostal. Now you're Presbycostal. You are now Pentecostals, because I haven't seen that kind of rolling since the early days in the 50s of what we called the Latter Rain movement, when they called us holy rollers. I said, you are now holy rollers. Oh, God is just doing awesome things. Well, now, in just a few days, I get to go to the Presbyterian Seminary in Seoul, Korea, and get to start there now for 10 days, imparting and ministering to them. And then they want me to go to Istanbul, Turkey, to their seminary there. I told Dr. Lee, I don't know if I want to go there yet. I'll give you the answer after I've been with you in Seoul. I spent my time in Turkey. My flesh doesn't like Turkey. So the Lord and I are having a wrestling match. So pray for me. He normally always wins, but this is a tough battle, folks. I may walk differently the next time you see me. You see, after I come back from Okinawa this year, I fell out of an apple tree and broke my hip. Tried to get up three times. The ground was frozen, fell on it, and couldn't get up. You ever try to get up with a broken hip when you go to move your leg and this bone right here, you feel it separating? It hurts. I had a heavy coat on. There was an 8-foot snow drift just not far from that big apple tree. It was cold. So I had my heavy coat on way up there, 14 feet on that ladder, trying to prune those last top branches. And I don't know what happened. I guess I slipped. I don't know. Next thing I knew, I was on the ground. Couldn't get up. Tried three times. Fell down. Finally, I looked around. Well, I was down under the snowdrifts, so they couldn't see over the snowdrifts the neighbors. If they saw me fall, I disappeared. And I thought, I got to get up, because if I don't get up, they're going to be calling 911. Couldn't get up. You ever had that happen? I never realized how hard. Now I know why you have these commercials where you just push this button, you know, for 911. If you break your hip, how do you do it? So I laid both hands on that hip. And I said, God didn't create you that way. And in 2 days, I got to head out across this country. I don't have time for a broken hip. Now, I say to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you get back together now. Obey the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Well, it didn't work. Not right away. So I crawled to the apple tree and pulled myself up. When I went to put weight on my leg, I went down again. Now, that's weird. Doctor told me when you break like that, it affects the nerves, goes across, and it can very well cause kind of a temporary paralysis in both legs. And I says, yeah, that's kind of the way it was. It was weird. My legs didn't want to work. Well, I laid hands on the hip again and said, you're not obeying. You've got to obey the word of the Lord. I told you, hip, I don't have time to go to the hospital with a broken hip. Now you hear the word of the Lord. I command you. You hear the word of the Lord and you be healed. Go back together. I'm going out of town in 2 days. I've got to get to Nova Scotia by April. And I got to get clear up in the eastern states. So I don't have time for you. Now you either get healed or ask the Lord to put a new one in your place. Now you got a choice. Crawled over to the apple tree, got myself up again. And this time I could kind of take a step. If I kind of drug my leg and didn't try this, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's when it really went bad. So I kind of do that. It hurt to put a little pressure backwards, but I got over. And then I saw all these branches around me I'd cut. And I thought, well, it's time to pick up branches. I went to pick up a branch, went down again. Had to crawl back to the apple tree, get back up again, lay two hands on that hip again and say, now listen, I'm not only going to ask for you to be replaced now, I'm going to ask for the other one because it's pained me every winter from when I fell playing baseball when I was 29. So, all right, buddy, now I'm asking for two hips. Devil, you keep it up, I'm going to be asking for a whole new body. Now, just it's up to you. He left me alone, man. I got the piles, three piles made, and then I saw that ladder and got it straightened up in the tree and headed up. I got up there this time with a saw, not with shears, because that was what I was reaching, trying to torque with the shears. So I thought, I'm just going to cut those branches off. And they were about that big around, so I got them cut and thrown down. Got down and I got out of there. Hallelujah. And in 2 days, was in that van as John loaded it for me and driving. 2.5 weeks worth of not much sleep at night, because when you turn over with your pain, it wakes you up. But at the end of 2 weeks, I woke up one morning and realized I had 9 hours sleep. Hadn't had 9 hours sleep since I don't know when, probably since I had that other sickness up in Siberia. But anyhow, I thought, wow, I got out of bed and I went like this. I couldn't do that before. And I got my new hip. Hallelujah. I wonder if the other one's new. I said, Lord, you give me both hips. Hallelujah. I'll take them. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he gave me two new hips. So the weather's been tested now this week. It's damp and cool. No pain in this one. So I know he gave me my other hip. See? If you're going to ask for one eyeball, ask for the other. If you're going to ask for one hip, ask for the other. If you're going to ask for one knee, ask for the other. Whatever's probleming you, shoulder, I don't care. One ear doesn't hear very good, ask for both of them good. Amen? Don't limit the Lord. Well, that's just real quick. Now, that isn't even what I talked about laying it on the shelf. I went through a wrestling match with the Lord because I knew I couldn't cover. Last year in the summer, I couldn't cover Nova Scotia, Vancouver Island, and British Columbia with my normal run across the country. And so just before I left home, the brother from Nova Scotia who had been asking 3 years for me to come, a bunch of Mennonites up there, want to know about the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to get up there. 3 years couldn't get up there. So I wanted to get there, and just before I was ready to walk out the door, he called. I wrote his number. When you're ready to fly in, let me know. I'll come and pick you up. Call this number. Stuck it on a sticky note, stuck it in my address book. Headed down to the Lake of the Ozarks with a men's advance of Full Gospel Businessmen for 3 days. Couldn't find the sticky note to call this brother, when would be the best time to fly into Nova Scotia? I looked till 2 in the morning the first night. I looked for 1 in the morning the next night. And then that next afternoon, the Lord said to me, don't you think you're striving? Oops. You know, God knows the word. Did you know he knows his word? It surprises you sometimes. For the servant of God must not what? Strive, but be gentle and be apt to teach. Don't strive. I was guilty, so I repented. But then I said, but Lord, I've got till tonight I'm going to look for that number till midnight tonight, because before I leave tomorrow morning, I have to call Hardwire because my cell phone didn't work down there in the Ozarks. So I got to get a hold of that brother in Nova Scotia. So if I don't find it by midnight, I'll go to bed. And if I don't find it by midnight, I'm not going to Nova Scotia. I'm going to Vancouver Island and Vancouver, British Columbia. I can't do both, so that'll eliminate it. I put it in your hands. Look till midnight that night. Didn't find it. So I resolve, okay, Lord, you've just freed me up from Nova Scotia another year. But, oh, dear brother Freezy, he's going to be disappointed again. I don't know why, Lord, but I must have an appointment in Vancouver, British Columbia. So, scheduled to go there. Got across the country, Vancouver Island, went over to British Columbia, preached in Richmond Christian Center morning and the evening. Chinese lady came up to me at the end of the service, and she said, Brother Groover, she said, what is your schedule tomorrow night? And I looked at Chris and Patty, the pastors, and I said, do you have anything scheduled for me tomorrow night, Monday? They said, no. You've got to be at the airport 4:30 in the morning, Tuesday, to fly to Osaka for the seminary. So we didn't want to schedule anything for you. We've kept you busy enough. You need time to pack and all. I said, well, they haven't scheduled me. What's up? This lady said, well, I'm entertaining some diplomats from China. And I heard your speech tonight. I'd like you to come to that dinner and meet some of these diplomats. And would you make a speech? Now, they're atheists, so you can't preach at them. But I think God will give you wisdom how to talk to them. Are you willing? I said, sure, I like Chinese food. But can you be sure I get home by 9? I got to pack yet. Oh, no problem, because we were going to prayer walk that next day. So it's agreed. So she comes and gets me. She greets us at the door, greets me at the door, and says, here's the plan. We'll have dinner right away, and then before dessert, I'll introduce you and have you get up and give your speech. Now, limit it to 45 minutes. That'll give us time to do all the things we have and get it served, and then we'll serve the dessert and the evening will be over, and we'll get you back by 9. Oh, fine. No problem. So, sure enough, I do my speech. I sit back down, and the lady, the hostess, another two ladies, up as I sit down, and they're going in to serve the desserts. They had finished, and kind of the signal was, when we're done, we'll come sit down. So that's my signal. My 45 minutes are up, okay? So it flowed nicely, and they sit down, and so I knew my time was up, so I finished up. And I went over to sit down. Then they got up and went into the kitchen to serve. And one of these Chinese ladies came over and sat down beside me. And she introduced herself. And she said, I represent the government of China. Like a dummy. I said, Taiwan or mainland China? The moment I said it. You ever said... Thank you. You didn't hear that. She said, well, mainland China, of course. I had heard that. You don't mention Brand X, you know what I mean? Not good to talk about Burger King when you're in McDonald's, kids. They get offended. And she says, well, let me tell you my business. She said, I'm here. We're having a congress in China, and we are inviting representatives from 99 nations of the world to this congress. They will exist of either ambassadors from that country or previous ambassadors. She said, you see, we have a problem in China. We have over 100 million senior citizens with no family. She said, it's our own fault. We've limited one child. And for many decades, the mother secretly had the baby. And if it was a girl, they drowned it and buried it. And so now we have a deficit in China. We have like 21-year-olds to 25-year-olds. We have over 26 million young men that have no promise of a bride right now, from 21 years to 25. We need help. And so this Congress, what its purpose is we're asking the nations of the earth to help us with how do they handle their senior citizens. And she said, I just invited former ambassadors from Canada to the Congress today, and I'm supposed to fly into Washington, D.C. tomorrow morning, or was supposed to, she said, to invite a former ambassadors to the Congress. But I think I found who I'm looking for. And I'm rattling away, trying to make conversation. Well, that's great. You really don't want to fly into Washington, D.C. this time of year anyhow. The humidity is so high. May is the best time of the year to fly into Washington, D.C. The cherry blossoms are blooming. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up, Henry. You know what I mean? She's looking at me strange when I'm rattling away. I finally quiet down, and she says to me, "Do you understand my English?" I said, "Yes." Now, this tells you how dense I am, okay? I said, "Yes, you speak very good English. You'd pass for American." She smiled largely, and she said, "Oh, thank you very much. I work very hard on my English. But I don't think you understood what I was saying." I said, "Oh, yes." And I repeated back to her what she's saying. And she kind of smiles politely, and she says, "Yes, however, you didn't understand I'm asking you to represent the United States of America to this Congress." Ever had your blood run cold? Dear Lord. I said, "Ma'am, I have never represented my country in any official office in my lifetime, any government official capacity in my lifetime." She said, "No, maybe not, but you have the wisdom we're looking for. Now let me explain the Congress. It will be fully paid for by the Chinese government, your airfare, lodging. You will come to our country as an ambassador of the United States of America. You will be treated as such. It will last 5 days in the Great Hall of the People. You will have opportunity to walk and talk with the leaders of China. You will go on tours with them. You will be able to walk with them and talk with them while you're on tours and in transports. Are you interested?" Do you think I was at a loss for words? No way! I just said, "Yes, I'm very interested. The only question I have is, when does this Congress take place?" "Oh," she said, "I'm sorry. It'll be October 25th through the 29th. You fly in the 24th and fly out the 30th. And I said, "That's perfect. I'll be in Tokyo, Japan at that time. It's a 45-minute flight to Beijing, no problem." She smiled and she said, "Then you'll accept my invitation." I said, "Absolutely." She said, "Very well. Do you have an email?" I said, "Yes. Would you please give it to me? And I will email it back to Beijing tonight, and you will have your official invitation within 2 days from the Chinese government." That simple. The hostess served the dessert, and we just kind of made general talk. And the hostess whisked me away, said, "I promised I'd get this dear man back to his lodging by 9 o'clock. I got to hurry." And I said to her, "I'll see you in Beijing." She says, "Yes, you will. Thank you very much." Next morning early, I flew to Japan. 3 days there in Japan, I realized, oop, I got to call home. Haven't called home yet. So I called home, and Heather, our daughter-in-law, you've met her. She came late to the wedding celebration the other night because she was watching little ones that were tummies upset. But she was the one. She's our son-in-law, Hank. You saw Hank up there beside Peter. That's his wife. And she answered the phone, and she said, "Henry," she said, "we got this thing from China. It's an official invitation to represent the United States as an ambassador to China, to a Congress. Is this a hoax thing? And I says, "No, it isn't." She says, "Well, I printed it out." I says, "Good. I'm glad you didn't delete it."
I took it up to Judith, my wife, and said, what do you think of this? And Judith read it and looked at me, she said, and said, if I hadn't been married to Henry all these years, I would believe it's just a total scam. Hang on to it. It's probably real. Thank you, Lord. They didn't delete that official invitation. So I couldn't get my visa in time from the embassy in Houston, Texas, because it was the week when I got home. I had 1 week before I flew to Osaka in the middle of August. And so, in the middle of August. And then I would be coming back in Vancouver, British Columbia, and it's still coming back cross country, so I wouldn't have time. So by the time I got the application, and it was the longest week of holiday for China, and they overnighted it back to us and said, you'll have to apply for it in Tokyo. Our embassy will be closed until you're already in Tokyo. Please apply there. Everything will be taken care of there. So I thought, well, if everything's taken care of, I'll do it the last day. Never leave anything till the last. Remember that? Don't procrastinate. But my schedule was heavy in Japan. And so the 23rd, I went to the embassy and found out it was only open from 9 to 12. And there was a mess of people in front. By the time I got in, I was number 25. And I noticed that every person that went up to the one of three windows, they kept being going from window to window, was given several 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper full of questions. And I began to calculate how long it was taking number one to get through window number three and walk out the door with their visa. And I began to watch, and the numbers are coming down ever so slowly. And 15 minutes to 12, I'm still seven numbers away from my number. And I'm anxious again. Number second time, remember? Way back over in Lake of the Ozarks, I was anxious. And the Lord reminds me again. Don't you think you're being anxious again? But Lord, I'm seven numbers away and it's 15 minutes and blah, 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 it's taking so much time for every person. And I'm sorry, Lord, you're right. If it's not your will for me to go to China, and if this isn't real, I don't want to go there anyhow. I put it in your hands. It seems to still be moving ever so slowly for the seven and a half minutes. Maybe one number's gone. And then 7 minutes to 12, it goes bloop, 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 bloop. And at 3 minutes to 12, my number comes up. But how am I going to fill out the first set of three reams of paper? I hurry up there, slip my passport under the glass and my official invitation, and she looks at them, she looks up at me, and very sternly says, are you the Henry Groover of this invitation? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. Big smile comes on her face. She says, Mr. Groover, please go out and have a nice lunch. Come back when you're finished. Come in front of the camera by the door and we'll let you in. Everything will be taken care of. Have a nice lunch.
Oh, you have little faith. Oh.
So I go out the door, have a nice lunch, come back. There's a good 45 people between me and the camera. I'm hearing their moans, their groans, and their cries. I got to fly out at 6 o'clock tonight. I can't come back tomorrow morning. I need my visa. You know what I mean? And I'm walking back and forth. I can't get through all these people to get up to the camera. And they'll lynch me if I try to break in. There's no line. They're just jammed in this kind of V-shape toward the door. And the camera's aiming down. They can't see me out here. Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo! They can't see me. I'm trying to be anxious again, but I'm trying not to, too. And I'm saying, Lord, I can't even get in front of the camera. And they would be angry with me because it sounds like they got more of a problem than I do. Now, I got to fly out at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, but they got to be out at 6 o'clock tonight. But they're not going to be open yet. How do I get through all these people? For 40, 45 minutes, I'm walking back and forth. They're staying. They're waving in front of the camera. They're trying to get that door to open. No doors are opening.
Suddenly the Lord says, tell them what the lady told you. So I said, everybody, turn around. Well, they're ready for any instructions that may work, right? They're desperate. So they're turning around. I says, listen, the lady at the counter 3 minutes before kept my information, didn't fill anything out, said for me to have a nice lunch, come back and get in front of the camera, and the doors will open. Now, isn't that what she said? Didn't say for me, I deleted for me. Oh, you crafty one. I said, so if you let me up there, maybe the doors will open and we can get in. The Red Sea opened up. I walked right up there, and before I was 10 feet from that door, it came open. And this Chinese police officer says, you, come here. I walk in. He says, the rest of you, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning to 12. Boop, the door shuts. I thought, oh, dear Lord. I hope they're gone when I get out. Go with him into the elevator. We go up several stories. Come out in this giant office area full of desks and people with papers stacked high on them. And I come in on this corner. A man stands up on the far corner. And the police officer says, him. You go to him. I make my way through the desks. They're all looking at me and nodding. I go through. He stands up, reaches out, takes my hand and shakes my hand. He says, Mr. Groover, I have all your papers ready. Everything's taken care of here. Now, please understand, you will be entering our country tomorrow under diplomatic immunity. This means you are not subject to our laws. However, we would appreciate it if you would respect our laws and our cultures. Now, you will be representing, as an ambassador, the United States of America. All of our papers state it as such to this Congress. Now, this badge, please put it around your neck and wear it at all times when you are in China. When you arrive at the airport, put it on. Don't go through the long line of visitors. You go to the far left. That is the diplomatic line. And even if no one's in that line, you go to the far left. And then there will be a reception group to meet you as you go out those doors. Do you understand? Yes, sir, I do. Thank you very kindly for accepting our invitation. Have a good trip. Hands me all this material and everything, my visa. I didn't even have to sign my name. Whew, no paperwork to fill out. All taken care of. You know, diplomatic immunity is pretty nice. Woo! Had my official invitation. Had my seal. The government seal. I'll put this on this side. Some people don't believe my testimonies. I took 1,600 pictures. Here's just a few. The lady in white on the front page here is the one I met in Vancouver, British Columbia. I don't know where to start. You go kind of zigzag. Just look at a few of the pictures there. Then I'll hand this one over to the other side. This was sent to me. This was just sent to me this summer. Trying to think of exactly when the receipt is in there. If you can't read Chinese, I'm sorry. I can't either. But this is the official documentation, the official report, if I could hang on to it, of the Chinese government, okay? Somewhere in there is a receipt, I hope, still in there, where it was sent to me from China. Well, it's in there somewhere, I think. Anyhow, yeah, there it is. There it is. Here's where it was sent. Yeah, it's all in Chinese. But I think it has a date on it.
Here we go. 3/24/2010. March 24th, 2010. I knew it was after I left home. After coming back, my hip was still struggling at that time, trying to obey the Lord. But this is the official document. They also sent with it 4 hours. Yes, you can start at that direction. They sent with it 4 hours of DVD because every day of that Congress was covered nationwide in China live. So everything that happened was on national television. That's how important that Congress was. When we went down the highways, we went by motorcades. Everybody pulled off, and we're all looking. When I arrived at the airport, they put me in a limo, took me through Beijing up into the sides of the country up by the Summer Palace, put me in this beautiful lodging. And it was awesome to see everybody looking. Who's that? So I just enjoyed it. Spreading goodwill for the United States of America. You know what I mean? I never rode in a motorcade like that before. That's awesome. You know, police escort and all that. Motorcycle police alongside you and front, behind, and through the streets. That's a good thing because I'll tell you, you know, China has prospered very quickly. And I was in Portugal when they first were accepted in the European Economic Community and received tremendous revenues through the EEC, European Economic Union. And they were oxcart people. And all of a sudden they had money to buy and drive automobiles, but they didn't know how. And the Lord had me walking Portugal at that time. I can't tell you the number of times cars come bouncing over curbs and all, just missing me. I saw several cars gone off cliffs. Poor people didn't realize you got to slow down on these curbs. You're not on a donkey cart anymore. That car goes so fast you don't get it stopped, especially coming down the hills. They had all kinds of problems in Portugal. Well, China was kind of that way. It was dangerous. A lot of accidents. These poor people are just learning to drive on the streets. That's dangerous in a city as big as Beijing. But so everybody wants an automobile now, whether they can drive it and know how to drive it or not. Well, anyhow, the first night of the welcoming dinner. Yeah, on the last page there, you see all those pictures? Are you looking for me? I'm right in the middle of the third row up. A guy has a hat on. I'm right off from him. Yeah, there's my blue suit. He's about the center. The only man with a hat on, what is it, third row up? And then I'm one row behind him off to the left, up behind him. In the middle. So I'm in there. The front row are the leaders of China, except for the premier. He only came in once out on the stage and just kind of looked and did this and walked back through the door. That's the most we got to see the premier. Well, the first night of the welcoming dinner in the Grand Hall, the head of the Department of Interior, his picture's there, I could point him out to you. He did the welcoming speech and all, and then he came back down to sit at my table. I have a picture in these pictures of a long table with goldware and everything. And then there's a picture of a name card and the gold place. That was my place. I got to sit across from the head of the Department of the Interior, who made the welcoming speech that night. And when he finished the welcoming speech, the lady dressed in white there, who I met in British Columbia, came over to me. And she said, "I've been talking to these leaders about you. They would like to hear you tonight." I don't even know what this Congress is about yet. I know it's on aging. I'm certainly aging by the second right now. Help, Lord! So you'll see her on the red one. You'll see me in a circle, and she's taking me up front. This is the welcoming dinner. I don't know why they put it in the farewell dinner. In this one, it's the welcoming dinner. But they put my picture in the... I think they got it mixed up. You look at the sign up above, it says farewell dinner there. That's the last night. But this took place on the first night of the dinner, and it's in the circle, so I guess they put the inset, put it in there at the wrong spot. But anyhow, I go up to make this speech. I get done. Don't ask me what I spoke on.
I knew I couldn't preach. So I just talked about experiences around the world with different people, with royal family, dining with members of the royal family, working with top generals, some of my lovely get-acquainteds where they thought I was CIA over in the border of Lebanon, and they were going to pull my fingernails out by the roots and skin me alive because they thought I was American. Little things like that. I did talk about some things like that. And when I got done, I just was very cheerful, didn't preach. I got done. They jumped up, gave me a standing ovation. And when the dinner's over, they all come up. 5-6 of these leaders all want pictures with me. So that's those pictures where I'm standing with all of them there. The first night I'm in. And God just orchestrated it. Every morning I would sit at a different table for breakfast. We had round tables. You'll see in some of these round tables, that's where we had breakfast. And they served so many. I had so many kinds of Chinese food. Oh, delicious people. I know you had dinner, so I'm not going to make you hungry. And I got plenty of lasagna tonight, so I'm in good shape. I'd make it a point to sit at a different table every morning. I met 54 ambassadors of foreign countries and communicated with them and talked with them, and it was wonderful. Met 8 of them that were just good, on fire for Jesus Christians within the first 2 mornings. And so then we agreed, let's get together early, you know, what time, 5 o'clock, and let's get together and have prayer meetings about our day and get God in control of this. So that's what we did the third morning and fourth and fifth and did that. And then the last day before we flew out, we got together. We had wonderful prayer meetings. The anointing of God was there. It was precious. And so I got to know them quite well. And some of these pictures, you'll see me sitting at the table with them. They're all smiling. Oh, those are the Christian ambassadors. Christian ambassadors, you know, Christ's ambassadors, but of their nations. There's the ambassadors from Egypt. There's the ambassador from Brazil there. There's an ambassador from Taiwan. There's an ambassador from, oh, mercy, trying to think of all of them. Anyhow, these were the ones we met with and prayed. And so that night I make my speech, and it was beautiful. And the next night is the official night in the Great Hall. This was in the Great Lodge we were at up by the Summer Palace. And that first night when I made the speech. Next night, we were in the Great Hall that afternoon and evening. And so I'm sitting across from on that table with all the goldware. That's the actual first official night. And I needed to use the men's room, and we've got all this entertainment of the top entertainments of China, our singing, playing, instruments, dances. It was beautiful. I needed to use the men's room. So I said to the head of the Department of the Interior, I said, I need to, he spoke good English. I said, my interpreter was off on another table away from dignitaries. And I said, I need to use the men's room. Could you please tell me where it is? And he says, oh, no problem. Just through that door over there and then to the left. And it's on the left down there. I said, do I need someone with me to go on through into the Great Hall? And he looked at me and he says, no. Take your liberty. What does that mean? So I went through the door, went into this glistening white marble men's room. Folks, it was a palace in the men's room. It sounds terrible, but it's true. It sparkled. This white marble sparkled. It was beautiful. Did my little duty there. Come out, because when I headed in there down the hall, I noticed these guards were standing. Two guards were standing at the base of the stairs for going upstairs. While I was in the men's rooms, I thought, take your liberty. This building's only 2 stories. Upside at top are all the executive offices and all. I want to go up there. I want to pray them. This is where the decisions are made concerning my people, my brothers and sisters in Christ in China. I don't know if I can get up there or not.
I'm going to try. After all, I'm not subject to the law of their land. I'm wearing my badge. So I head in for them, and they're standing like this. And I get a little ways from the two of them, and they go, "Now, what does that mean?" In military body language, "Go ahead." I nod to them. Go up. They keep that stern look, you know, no smile back. Up the stairs I go. Standing at the doors of all these chambers are guards. But they're not right in front of the door. They're at the side of the door. Well, here's the first test. I don't know what this room is for, but I'm going to see if I can go in. I walk up to the door, and all he does is open the door, go in. In and out of offices, conference rooms, for an hour and a half. Every room, all the way around, except the ladies' room. They had ladies' room up there too. Prayed over the entirety of it. Not one person stepped over in front of the door to stop me. Prayed it all. Hour and a half later, I come back down the other direction, sit back down across from the head of the Department of Interior, and I said, "This is a beautiful building." Had to say something. I was gone so long. My camera was sitting on the table. I didn't take it with me. So he knew I wasn't taking pictures. At least, he didn't seem to worry about it. And he starts telling me the history of the building while the entertainment's going on. And we became real good friends. Didn't even ask me, "Where you been for an hour and a half?" So the next morning, we're up at 7 o'clock for breakfast. Well, we're up in the breakfast room because we're going to go to the Great Wall of China. And so they take us by escort. Everybody's pulled off the road. We got there great, fast. You know what I mean? When everybody pulls off and you go by siren and flashing lights, you get up there quick. And the head of the Department of Interior steps up forward. He seemed to be the main speech person. And he's giving the history of the Great Wall. And I was amazed to hear that, like, every football field length in the history of the Great Wall, 1,000 people have died in the building and the defense of it. Do you realize how many that is? How much innocent blood is along that almost 1,500-mile wall? It's almost incalculable. Unfathomable when you think about human life. Well, all these delegates that are on the red, the back page of the red one there, we're going to go to the right. And I realize we've got some 70, 80-year-old people among us here. And they'll do good to get to the first tower, and they're going to slow everybody down. And I want to cover as many towers as I can. I want to be like a mountain sheep. I want to go from tower to tower to tower to tower, because they said we got 3 hours. Three. And so there's hardly anybody going left. And my pictures of the Great Wall, you'll notice there's hardly anybody that way. So I tell my interpreter, "I want to go that way." And he says, "No, no. Only military and leaders of China and their families allowed to go that way. We go this way." I pull my badge out. And he says, "It doesn't mean that." I said, "Well, you don't know till you try." Now, I'm thinking about the night before. See, if I can do that in the Capitol, what's the Great Wall? This badge is powerful. I'm going to use it to its nth degree. I'm here on limited time. I'm not going to wait till the last day to try to get all this work done. I'm going to get as much done as I can right up front, because I don't know how long I'm going to get to be here. If my cover's blown, I may be out now. See what I mean? And you know, undercover agents for God, you got to use a little wisdom along with some zeal, according to knowledge. And he says, "No, it doesn't mean that. We have to go this way." I said, "Well, listen. How about if when we're going up there, I turn and head that way, and you stay about 5-6 steps behind me, and if they open up to let me go, then I will do that." That means come here in Chinese language. This is, we would go this way, but that means come on.
And he says, "Oh, okay. I walk behind you. I walk up to the gate." And what did they do? Both of them. I turn and say, "Come on, come on." He's looking like this, like he's not with me. I holler his name and, "Come on, come on. Oh, here he comes." Going in with me. We get about 20 feet in the gate. He's pulling on my sleeve. He says, wait. I need to talk to you. I said, "Well, didn't they give me permission to come in?" He says, "Oh, yes. He said, "You're a very important man in the world. They almost salute you." He said, "I come from a very important family in Beijing, very wealthy family. From a little boy, I've been trained to be leader in China." He said, "2 months, I graduate with my doctorate." He said, "My family, very prestigious family in government. We entertain leaders of China all the time. But I never see my people do this with an American. So I'm training. So may I ask you questions while we walk?" I said, "You can ask anything you want. But we got to keep moving." First tower, he's asking questions. Down, he's asking. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen the Great Wall. It's not easy walking. And you got to watch where you're walking, because one step may be, if you're going down, maybe 8 inches down. The next one may be 14 inches down. Excellent military strategy. If you're coming to take that tower, you can't just up those steps like the football players do between the tires. You know what I mean? You can't do that. You got to be watching which step goes 14 and which goes 8. Or you're going to be flat on your face. So while you're watching going up their steps, they've got the sword drawn. And what happens? You're looking, you look up, whoop, just in time to cut your head off. It's excellent military strategy. They were thinking back there when they built that wall. It amazed me, the wisdom. I always look at military things. I'm not a worrier, I'm a warrior. Did you hear what I said? There's the difference between worriers and warriors. Some people are warriors. I'm a warrior. And I love military strategy. I love films of wars. Not that I love to see people die, but I love to see how people fight battles in the natural, because I want to learn from that. When the signal comes, it's time to cry out, "Help, Lord! It's me! I'm in trouble!" You know what I mean? There are certain crossover points in warfare where you better have the Lord with you. And you better know when to get on the radio and cry, "I need reinforcements." Amen? In the natural and in the spiritual. So that's a little lesson for you of warfare. And so we get to the third tower. He's out of breath. I'm a little tired. I'm beginning to work up a sweat. Thank the Lord I didn't break my hip before I went to that one, you know. Or my foot, like I did that time before I left for Japan. He says, "May I ask you a question?" Now, we're on tower number 3. They're only going to make it to tower number 1 and back down in 3.5 hours. We're at tower number 3. We got an hour and 45 minutes to go and an hour and 45 minutes to go back. I've calculated as close as I can. And he says to me, "May I ask you a very personal question? If it's dishonorable, please don't answer." I said, "Sure, what is it?" "Anything." He says, "I hope it's not dishonorable. How old are you?" Oh, I said, "That's simple. I'm 67. He looked at me and he said, "Is every American in America man that's 67 is strong and as capable as you to go up and down?" I said, "I hope so. Now, I put in a good word for you fellas." You see, we got to make these little Chinese think we're not that easy to conquer. I'm always thinking warfare, remember. Dear Lord. We got to fight them up to 67 years old.
Some of us are 14, you know what I mean? We're carrying a big red weapon, but they're faster than we are. We're in trouble. They're wise, too. They got 67 years, 40 years on us. You know what I mean, how the brain thinks. You got to always be thinking, how does the brain think? And so we're going on. He's asking many questions, and we get to tower number 5. Well, now, by the time we're to tower number 5, there's nothing but military. All military. Their guns, their different ranks and all. And every one of those towers we go through, they just like that, and we go through. Never stopped us once. And I can tell he's a little nervous each time we're approaching a tower. And we get on tower number 5, and he's asked many questions. And he comes up to me, and he says, I hope this is not too personal a question. I know I've been asking many, many questions, but I really need to know. He said, as I told you, I grew up, my family entertaining leaders of China. And they come for good gatherings and talk and all. But he said, last night, when you gave speech in Great Hall, they all come up to you, want pictures, and they all smiling. You have contagious happiness. How can you be such an important man in the world and have contagious happiness? I don't understand. Now I'm in the cooker, right? Am I going to blow my cover, or am I going to say, oh, I'm just a happy man. I got 13 children. I got 26 grandchildren and one great-grandson, and I'm a very happy man. I could easily have done that. But it's time for a moment of truth, isn't it? But I got 30 Chinese troops around me. I'm way out of the sight of all my fellow ambassadors. I'm fair game. Now, that's what this thing said. You know what I mean? For you that are listening to a tape, it means the thing between my ears and the top of my head. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 through 9 says it's the carnal mind. It is the mind that has caused enmity or is at war with God. Am I going to please this noodle of mine, or am I going to tell him the truth? Well, I was determined. I don't care what the price is. This may be my last day here. I may be escorted in a whole different direction. I hope I get back to my lovely lodging to get my two heavy suitcases, but I don't know. I'm going to tell him the truth. So I said to him, by name, I'm not purposely not giving his name, but I said, may I tell you the truth? And he said, oh, we should always tell the truth. I said, but you may not like the truth. He looked at me real strange, like, huh? I don't know what was going on. I'd love to have read his mind at that moment. Is he a spy? You know what I mean? Isn't that about the first thing they'd think? You're a foreigner. Is he CIA? Yeah, I'm a Christian in action. Hallelujah. I said, I believe in God. I am a Christian. His countenance just went, phew. He turned, walked away, and stood by an officer. And my mind said, oh, well, it was nice while it lasted. I enjoyed the motorcades. I enjoyed being served like a king. I enjoyed the goldware at the table. It was heavy. It was real gold. I enjoyed being in the great grand ballroom and all that. It was beautiful. Lord, I'm happy because I could go home now because I prayed the government halls. Maybe that's all you brought me here for, and it's time to get back to Japan and go back to work. I don't know. You know, that's what my mind was thinking. I don't know how long he was over there. I didn't look at my watch. Finally, he come back over, and he said to me, from a little boy, those words have been forbidden
in my household and with my family. We have never been allowed to think about anything about a God. But he said, tell me, how do I get contagious happiness? What are you going to do? You're going to just give him a little story, or are you going to tell him the truth, the real source? I said, you mean how to become a Christian? He said, is that how you get contagious happiness? I said, I have walked and worked 48 countries in my life, foreign countries. I've been all across America. I at times think I have worked among every religion you can name of the world. But I want you to know, Christianity is the only religion that has contagious happiness. And he said, tell me more. How do I get this? And I begin to tell about Jesus from his birth. The Father, so loving, and just explained. And then you ask him, I came with part, that you, it's very important that you speak with your mouth, right in the middle of these troops, that you speak with your mouth and ask him into your heart. He got the strangest look on his face. I don't know what he was thinking except by what he said. He said, I don't understand. You said this God put the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth. He made them with his hands and put them in place and created every living thing, even mankind. A God like this has to be so big and so great. How can he come in my heart? My heart, no bigger than fist. I don't understand. I said, by his spirit. He said, spirit. I don't know that word. I said, you ever been near a person when they die? Yes, my grandmother. I said, what happened when you knew she was dead? Did something leave her? Life left her. I said, what you witnessed leaving her was the spirit of life that God gave to man and woman, boy and girl. You saw a change when that left her, didn't you? Oh, yes. You ever seen a baby come alive when it's first born and start crying? Oh, I see on my studies, yes. That's when the spirit of life comes in from God, first breath. So he said, then you say spirit means breath, breath? I said, yeah, the breath of God. He says, I ask breath of God to come into my heart. How do I know where he comes from and if he's there? I looked and saw the leaves on the trees flickering. Looked almost like an aspen tree. I said, see those leaves flickering? Yeah. Why are they doing that? He says, the breeze is blowing them. I said, how do you know that? He said, because they're moving. I said, but you can't see them. You can't see what's moving them. No. I said, same as the Spirit of God. But you know it's there. Where is it coming from? What direction is the wind coming from? He goes, that way. I said, how do you know that? You can't see it. He says, my finger got cool, and it feels good because I'm very hot. I said, okay. When you ask God to come into your heart and forgive you of all your wrongdoing, you will feel good all over, just like your finger. He looked at me, his face lit up. He says, all my wrongdoing will go away? I says, every bit of it. Anything you've ever done wrong. Every lie, anything you've ever done wrong. You knew when you do wrong, don't you? He says, yeah. I feel bad. I says, ah. Now when all of it's gone, you will feel good. He says, I like that.
I want that. Ask Jesus into his heart. When he finished, he looked at me with a big smile and he says, I feel good all over. Now I understand how you, 67 years old, can go up and down so fast because I feel so much lighter now. I said, all your burdens, all your weights are gone. You're free now. And he says, I like this. I said, it's time to head back. We had an hour and 15 minutes to get back now, and we made it no problem. Needed to use the men's room. It wasn't like the one in the Royal Palace, but I needed to use it, and so they had the area barricaded off with security for all of us and all that, and the China television was there and had gone with them up that way, hadn't gone with us our way, thank you, Lord. And so I used the men's room and come out, and when I come out, I'm looking for him. Oh, I see him. The moment I see him and I'm heading his way, I see him go like that right toward me, and he's standing beside one of these leaders. Oh, boy, here we go again. Oh, dear, it's been nice being here. Well, at least I got to walk, pray the Great Wall and the Capitol. You see, oh, you have a little faith. Here comes this leader right to me with real stern face. And he says, and I'm not using the interpreter's name. I'll just say interpreter, okay? He says, I understand you were talking to your interpreter about God. I said, yes, sir, that's correct. You know, that's forbidden in China. Why do you break the law? I said, well, because last night when I gave the speech, now here's God's wisdom, people. It wasn't mine. I take no credit for this. Last night when I gave the speech, you and six other leaders of China, after giving me a standing ovation, came up front with me and wanted pictures with me. Your wife, their wives, their daughters wanted pictures with me hanging on my arms. And they were happy when they were with me. And my interpreter noticed that. And up on the tower, he noticed it and he said, you have a contagious happiness. And he asked, how do I get this happiness? Could I deny him the truth? And this man said, we must always tell the truth. I said, well, sir, the truth is the only way I have contagious happiness is I'm a Christian and I believe in God. How can I hide that? You know that's forbidden in China. You know that we believe to know God. And I said, yes, sir, I do. Then why did you do it? Before I could answer, he goes like this and looks this way and this way. I'm remitting his sins. Remember what the definition of remit is? Release, relax, absolve, discontinue, leave off, mitigate, alleviate, soften, relent, consign, deliver. See how powerful for remittance is, even with powerful people, when they're angry with you. His words softened after he looked around. His voice softened. He yelled no more. And he said to me, from a little boy, I knew there had to be a God. But he said, I have traveled many nations for my country. I have passed many religious institutions. I have had their literature thrust at me. I have pulled my hands away and never brought one back to my country, and can say to this day, I never looked into one of them. But I knew there had to be a real God. And when your interpreter came to me so happy and excited, for he is a friend of my family, I'm a friend, my family's a friend of his family, and was telling me about finding God, I knew he had found the real God. Help me find him. Oh, boy, that's goosebump row. Help me find him. Right there, in the middle of all these ambassadors, Chinese police and military, Chinese television over interviewing some ambassadors of some other country. This man is giving his heart to Jesus. Right in the middle of all of them. They're as close as you are. They're all around us. They begin looking when he was speaking so harshly to me. And then they got busy talking. You know how people are. I think some of them were happy. Because when I sat at some of their tables, you know, afterwards and tried to greet them, they snubbed me off. I think they were jealous that I had gotten a standing ovation the first night. Is that foolish to think? Sorry, I read people's actions pretty loud. Remember we said actions speak louder than words. And I felt the snub. Well, they weren't happy with last night. I'll go over to this one. I'll sit at this table. There were some tables they didn't want me to sit at. Well, that'll be taken. Will be. It isn't. Is taken. See what I mean? In other words, that's not for you. Okay. All right. Thank you. Go to the next one. So I knew there was that attitude that next morning like that there at the breakfast tables. So anyhow, that man gave his heart to the Lord, tears just flowing down his face. Grabbed me, putting his face, his head on my shoulders, soaked my shoulders with his tears right there in the middle of all these people. He was not hiding what happened to him. It was so precious. Then he grabbed his handkerchief and wiped away the tears and regained his kind of stiffening up his emotions, his composure. And he said, now, he says, I have many assignments these next 3 days. I'm going to be very busy, and there will be times you'll be in one of the Congress meetings, and I'll come through. He says, I will always look for you. If I see you, I will look, smile, and I will nod. And I said to him, and I will nod back and do this. He looked at my one finger up and he said, I've been in America. I've never seen anybody do that. What does that mean? I said, first of all, it means that you are now one with Almighty God. That he accepts you, and if you die, you go to be with him. Number two, it means we are one. You are my China brother. I am your American brother. We have the same Heavenly Father. His eyes got big. He said, I like that. I like that. If I were to show you him on that official report, you would see him about two people over from me. He's kind of looking my way. And he's smiling like this. I'm not going to show him to you, but he's there. That was about 10 minutes. That picture there was taken about 10 minutes at the Great Wall after he accepted Jesus. We were together. We squatted down. That's a signal. And a lady got right between us. So we moved over, being polite. She got between us. But he's kind of looking over at me like this, going like this. Well, the next days, he would come through, he'd see me, I'd see him, I'd nod, I'd do this, and he'd go. And go on. Thank you, Lord, he got that. But when I got back home in November, late November, this letter, this is a copy of it, the original I have. I purposely blacked out his name and address and email. But this is the letter that was waiting for me. And it's in Chinese in the top. And then in English, it's dated 2009-11 08. 11-8-09. That would be, yeah, November the 8th, 09. It's hard for me to go backwards. They do it in Japan, too. All right, so it's the year of 2009, 11th month and the 8th day. So the day he gave his heart to the Lord was the 26th of October. So from the 26th to the 11th of November, this is what he writes. Dear Henry, nice to meet you on the first China International Chongyang Festival in Beijing. You become my good friend, even though we have language barrier. I thought he spoke beautiful English. But listen what he says next, comma. We nod to each other every time we see each other as a token of regards. I think that indicates we have some ties of relationship. Isn't that precious? How if you had to write a code language, how would you do it? I think that indicates we have some ties of relationship. Now I send a picture we've token, instead of taken, together to you for a memorial. I wish our friendship may last forever. He's believing it, isn't he? The picture was right in front of the main entrances to the Capitol building. The last day, he come up to me with a photographer and wanted a picture with me there in front of it. So he sent a copy of that, and I have it at home. I purposely don't bring it because then people can see who he is. But he was such a happy man. Best regards in his name. And then, P.S., you may contact me by email, which I'm presently doing. And then he says, finishes, feel free to contact me for anything at all, .. concerns, comma, ideas, .. Isn't that precious? Oh, I value that original. I prize it. That, along with my official invitation and my badge, obviously I'm not passing that around. I realize it had tremendous power. It doesn't have a date on it. It's just a very beautiful badge that calls me a ambassador of the United States of America. I prize that. If I ever go to China, I don't know. I don't think I should wear it. But when I went through customs, through that diplomatic side, he just waved me on. And I stopped and I says, would you mind stamping? I wanted a stamp to see if it said, like, diplomatic. It's in Chinese. I don't know what it says. I looked at some of the other passports of visitors from Japan. It's different. It has different words. And maybe it says diplomatic in Chinese. I don't know. But when I went through customs, I had a heavy suitcase because I'd have to be at an extended time in Japan because there'd be 6-8 inches of snow up north that I'd be walking in, so I have to wear cold weather gear. So I have two heavy suitcases I'm pulling going through customs. They just wave me on, smile. That was a good feeling. That was such a good feeling. So we had, it was a wonderful Congress. I was asked to give another speech later on and gave another speech. So actually I managed to give two speeches and really enjoyed walking with the head of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare in the around the lake of the Summer Palace. Had a good half an hour talk with him, and very good. In these pictures that I'm passing on, my pictures, his wife and daughter are one of the ladies, older and younger ladies that are there. And he spoke very good English as well. Very kind man. I really enjoyed their spirit. I have to say to you that I believe, I know I did a lot of walking and praying over across Europe when the Berlin Wall was still up. And we even did a 747 charter jet over Moscow and St. Petersburg and Georgia back off into Western Germany. Charter, there were 247 or 248 of us.
on that plane interceding and doing spiritual warfare before the wall come down, before President Reagan got up there facing that wall and said, bring that DAM wall down, you know. And it came down, didn't it? But you see, don't underestimate the power you have in bringing down the strongholds, because the scriptures are so true that we are, not will be, could be, might be, have been, we are, present tense, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You're doing that in Africa, that you're doing that in the Philippines, you're doing that in India, you're doing that all across the earth, China you've been, these countries you've been going into, Indonesia, all these different countries God is taking you into. You are pulling down these walls in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God has equipped you. Don't underestimate your authority. Don't underestimate the power that you have. I don't know why God chose me to do that. I do know my mother, from the time I was a toddler, had a vision and a burden for China. I can remember from the time I was crawling around her feet, her tears falling into the wash water, crying for China, because she had a call to be a missionary in China, and Dad would never let her go. And that was when you could have gone. So every month she worked with the Women's Missionary Council, and every month they sent boxes to the missionaries that she orchestrated and did. And I know that Mother and Dad sacrificed to send these things out. It was her mission, her way of caring, and she cried for China. And I thought it was interesting when I was there walking in Beijing one day. And I mean, they took us to many different tours and places. It wasn't all just sitting in councils and all. They genuinely realize, I heard right out of the leaders' mouths, they genuinely realize they need help. They realize it was a mistake to limit only one child. They realize how it has affected the entire structure of their nation, the morale of their country and everything. They, one of the speeches made said, this is the reason we are sending our young people to the four corners of the earth, the nations, all of your different nations. We're sending them to universities. We're telling the young men, find a bride. You don't have one here. Go find a bride. And that's what he said. That's the reason. And so you see, this problem created by their own decision has literally been the cause or the instrument that God used to get them to the four corners, get them out of China where they could hear the gospel. For 12 years, I went on the merchant ships. It'd take us up to 2 hours to get on a Chinese ship in Oregon, Washington, along those ports. Up to 2 hours going through security. We could not bring anything that looked like a Bible, any literature with any scriptures on it. We couldn't wear a hat with a cross on it. We could not talk about our God or anything like that. We could just befriend them. And God had ways. Once we gained the favor of the special police on the ship, then they slackened and trusted us. So then we said, could we bring clothes? So we bring bags of clothes. In those bags of clothes, in the linings, were scriptures. In the hymns, all scriptures. Hundreds of Bibles in those days were going into China in the second lining of clothing. So you see, that was our way of getting into China, and I felt good. I felt that that was my fulfilled mission in the place of my mother. I used to tell her when she was alive, Mom, we're getting scriptures into China. We're just loving on the Chinese people that come in these ships. Occasionally, they'll let us take them out garden golfing or sightseeing, and we'll take them out, and we just smile, and we can't talk to them about it, but we can show them kindness in our land. And but I thought it was interesting. I got into Manchuria in 1992. Walking in Manchuria with the assigned interpreter and, you know, to watch me, I came in alone.
over the border there. And I heard cries coming out over this little mountain-like. And I said to my interpreter, I said, is Beijing that way? You heard this on some of my tapes way before I ever got to go to China. Is Beijing that way? Two different times, my interpreter would say, no, Beijing is that way. Tokyo, Japan, that way. The end of Sakhalin Island of Russia, the out on the by the Sea of Okhotsk there, the southernmost tip of Sakhalin Island, some pronounce it Sakhalin. I hear cries. I couldn't see north, south, east, or west every day. It was snowing, the heavy overcast of snow, and I didn't know what was north, south, east, or west. I hear cries coming across the sea, and I ask my interpreter, my Russian interpreter, is that Beijing that way? And he says, no, Hokkaido. Beijing that way. I thought, why do I say Beijing? You know, I know other parts of China. Why does Beijing come up? Now, I didn't realize God was speaking through my lips prophetically, speaking into existence my passport from heaven into Beijing. You see what I mean? The Word of God says we speak many times a mystery. It doesn't mean that we always speak a mystery in tongues. I was speaking a mystery both times hearing cries. Both times I heard Japan cry out. Well, I've been working 15 years now in Japan. I've worked 43 of the islands of Japan now. The upper island all the way to the westernmost island and the southernmost island. Many Japanese tell me, you know Japan better than we do. Dr. Tadashi Nakagawa, he's over the departments of the universities in Japan. He said to me, he says, I teach geography every week in Tokyo in one of the biggest on-campus universities in the world. And he said, you know Japan better than I do. You know the world better than I do. You've earned your doctorate in geography. I said, what would I do with that? I'm not home enough, long enough to hang it on the wall. And I shouldn't have said that. It offended him, you know, and I understand. I just was with him. Each year when I go to that seminary, he's there. He comes and sits in, and I introduce him, and the people are happy to see him. I mean, he's over the universities, you know. He's a very important man in Japan. He travels all over the world for Japan. But every year he comes and sits, and he just says, you just keep me realigned with Jesus, Henry. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Just keep me realigned with Jesus. People, that's the important thing. Just stay aligned with Jesus. And I just want to finish it with this, is to say to you, don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Don't limit the Lord. One very important person I met this year had just come back from Israel. And he said to me, he said, I would put my signature on the fact that before the end of October, Israel will hit Iran. Now, do you realize what that means? That's a very serious statement to me. I looked him right in the eyes and I said, do you realize how serious that is? Oh, yes, he said. It's going to cause the entire world to go into a tailspin of confusion, terror. And it will, people. It will bring about a very serious time among the nations. And I can't emphasize that enough. If you don't understand, I'm not here to sell books. But that Rebirth of Judah book, I want to tell you something. If you want to understand that statement I just made, you need to read that. Because you're looking at the geographical, natural apple of God's eye over there. You are the spiritual apple of God's eye. You realize that? It's so precious to hear Mary Pat telling how gold is appearing on these little orphan type girls that have been taken into prostitution, that have been rescued. How
how gold is falling on these boys and girls that have been taken in for prostitution, temple prostitution. Remember what I told you the old rabbi said about that? When I told him over in Jerusalem, right there sitting in Liberty Bell Park on Bethlehem Road, he went into shock. This old, long, gray-bearded rabbi. When I asked him, I said, maybe you can explain something that's happening. This, folks, this was in 1989 when it first started happening. And he said, what is it? And I told him how gold is falling down among Christians, on them, appearing on them, falling on their hair, falling on their Bibles. That old rabbi went into shock. He began to stutter, looking at me, saying, gold? Gold? You mean this is real gold? Gold. Just nobody doing this. Just, I said, yeah, come through solid ceiling. Gold can't fall through solid ceiling. It just appears and falls on God's people. He says, gold. Gold. This is happening where? I says, many places, East Coast to West Coast. He says, I was rabbi in New York City many years. Gold is falling on the Gentiles. I said, that must mean something to you. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yes, this means something. In the ancient Hebrew, when the bridegroom is preparing to take his bride, before the midnight cry comes for the bride to go out and meet the bridegroom, the groom always sends his bride a gift of gold. And that old rabbi called his daughter and granddaughter, come, come. They were playing on the swings and all in the park. Come, come, daughter. Come, granddaughter. Come quickly. As they approached, he got up and he said, gold. Gold is falling on the Christian Gentiles in America. The time is getting near. Gold is falling on the Gentiles. See, you say, well, that was 92, 89, Henry. That's a long time ago. No, it isn't. Not with Almighty God. He's waiting. He's watching. Only the Father knows when we're ready. But I want to tell you something. When it's time and when He's ready, it's going to be fast. One of the greatest astrophysicists of America with NASA wrote this. Said, I was sitting doing some mathematics one day for the reentry of the space shuttle, when all of a sudden God spoke to me and said, you know, you people think so slow. And this writing said, I looked up and said, God, is that you? And he said, yes. You think so slow. What are you using for your mathematical equation for speed? Well, Albert Einstein, speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. That's pretty fast, God. Now listen to what God answered back, that astrophysicist, this powerful scientist. God said, I think faster than that. I think faster than 186,000 miles per second. Have you ever wondered how he can answer prayers simultaneously around the globe of millions of people? Hallelujah! He is not limited. He says it'll come to pass before you even call. I'll answer. I think faster than the speed of light. You're so slow. Isn't God good? Oh, He's so awesome. He is so awesome. He is just so wonderful. I just praise Him. I thank Him. I just want to tell you a little update. When I was here a couple years ago, I told you about the number 2 Soka Gakkai high priest. That's the elite sect of Buddhism in Japan.
gloriously saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel all over the islands of Japan. I had dinner with the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God of Japan, all right, at his house. Was telling him about him. He's nodding. Now, finally, I says, well, who told you about his conversion? He says, Henry, a week ago last Sunday night, he preached in my church. I said, he did. He says, oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. And his face just straightened. He says, yeah, he did. And he says, I want to tell you something. Every one of us were down at the altar bawling our eyes out. That man preached even me under conviction, he said. He is a fireball for God. That man is on fire, 84 years old, on fire for Jesus. Well, just March the 3rd, before I left to come back home from Okinawa, four pastors were sent to me. You know what the message was? We've just come from the number one Soka Gakkai high priest. The number two wants you to know, Henry. He's terminally ill, but he is coming to Jesus. He is learning what the number two got, and he's ready. At any time, he's going to give his heart to Jesus. His heart is so softened. At first was very calloused, very hard, very judgmental, and very angry, because he and number two had been top for many, many years, and he lost his partner. But his heart is getting so tender. We know at any second he's going to give his heart to Jesus. Can you imagine how this is shaking Japan? The top echelon. Remember, it's the Soka Gakkai temples. For 11 years, I couldn't get a foot in. I quoted Psalm 24 over hundreds of gates of Soka Gakkai temples. They'd come up and push me away from the gate. We'd try to walk around. They'd throw water over the fence at us and persecute us. We climbed through cobwebs, through jungles and everything, trying to walk around these temples. And finally, after 11 years, I'm saying, Lord, is the Soka Gakkai religion more powerful than you? I need to see some fruit. And before I'm done on that trip, the daughter of the number two Soka Gakkai high priest comes and tells how she was gloriously saved. And she's giving her testimony in the most elite hotel in Japan, the new Yamanori. And she's just dancing like Catherine Kuhlman, giving her testimony. She comes across that big lobby. Multiple layered terrace like the hanging gardens of Babylon. You know what I mean? The towers. And cameras are flashing and everybody, because they know who she is. She's one of the most famous women in Japan, on television every day in Japan. And she, being a Soka Gakkai, raised Soka Gakkai, gets gloriously saved, baptized in water, comes up out of the water, gets filled with the Spirit, and she's telling about it as she's coming across that lobby. Just if she'd have been in chiffon dress, white dress, flowing like Catherine Kuhlman, I'd have thought it was a Japanese Catherine Kuhlman. That was 4 or 5 years ago. And that, at that time, she said, and we know for a fact over 10,500 top Soka Gakkai people have come to Jesus now. That was almost 5 years ago, people. It'll be 5 years ago this November. You see what God is doing? We've been walking and praying 15 years, and we're seeing the fruit of it. Don't give up in Africa. Don't give up in India. Don't give up in these places. Jesus said that you set the captives free. Open the prison doors and let the captives go free. Wherever they're captive, get them loose. Get them freed up. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. It's glorious. It's glorious. It's glorious. Well, I better quit. Oh, dear me. It was 10 after 9 the last time I looked at my watch. I'm not going to tell you what time it is. I'm just going to give you the microphone and sit down.
We're not worried about time. Praise the Lord. Is that encouraging? Can we just praise the Lord and thank Him for the goodness the revelatory knowledge on this man and the favor of God and the encouraging word. Thank you, Lord, for all of us. Take a step forward in belief for the impossible and not give up. That was a good word. I encourage my heart for sure. You know, it's really cool to be with Henry. He's family to us, as we talked about before. And I just want to reiterate and encourage you, because some came in after we talked at the very beginning, that Henry's beloved Judith, I just really felt in my spirit as he was talking that we really need to join arms together with Henry and completely stand and trust God without worry or anxiety, in total faith, that the manifestation of the healing that has already begun, the fruit that was seen this weekend at the wedding, praise the Lord, where she actually said that she felt heat in her foot where it was always ice cold, and she felt that at the rehearsal and for the wedding and the dinner after that, and we're going to believe that that's going to travel all the way up her body and completely give her exactly what she needs, which is a new heart and new lungs. Amen? Amen? And we're going to stand for that. 15% her heart. And she walked up that hill with me, didn't she? Before that prayer, she was laying in the van and wasn't sure she was even going to be a part of any of it. Amen. Yeah. And God said, no way. So there was a change. Amen. So we're going to pray there and for her and just commit all this in the hands of the Lord. Before you do go, though, write that check for Joyful Sound Ministry. Right there is a box behind Deanne. So you don't leave without blessing this man of God and all that God's doing. But Father, we just want to thank you for this wonderful lover of yours and son of yours in Jesus' name. Extend your hands to Henry, would you? And we just praise you and thank you, Lord God, that you are so faithful, you are so good, and you will send us wherever we're willing to go, Lord God. Even if we're not willing, you'll work with us and you'll show us that you are a good daddy and that you make the way for us, Lord, where there seems to be no way. And I thank you, Lord God, for the powerful favor on Henry's life and his family. And I thank you, Lord, that that favor rests on your children. And Father, we just step in and we take hold of that right now, because in you is no lack. And we thank you, Lord God, that this man of God understands your authority and wields it in a beautiful way. And we thank you, Lord, it's the resurrection power and authority that you gave us, Father, that we are saying yes to for each one of our lives. And Father, we celebrate you and we thank you, Lord, that we don't minimize the great authority of the resurrected Savior living inside of all who are belonging to him. So we thank you, Lord God, that we stand right now and we agree with Henry, who's also standing for the full manifestation of this healing in Judith Groover. And we thank you, Lord God, that we're going to continue to hear good reports and we will accept nothing else but that. And we know it's your good pleasure to see her through to the final end of the siege for 2 years. So Lord, we just bless you and thank you for your blood. Thank you for taking Henry to China. Thank you for taking him to the many more places, many more countries that are still in his portion, and that Judith will be by his side and join him in Jesus' name. We're trusting and believing, Lord God, for your best is yet to come. And Lord, that the truth of the gospel is for all of us to be able to hold fast and say, you are so powerful, God. You are so amazing. You are so magnificent. And we trust you. We believe you, Lord God. We worship you in spirit and in truth. And we're believing for the impossible. And we thank you that we contend for great faith. So we thank you for the faith that's been released through this man and for the miracle signs and wonders that will continue to increase for his life. We bless your name. We bless Henry Groover and his family and Joyful Sound Ministries. And we thank you, Lord God, that you, Jesus, are coming soon. And you're telling us, Lord God, that the bride makes herself ready. And we thank you, Lord God, that we stand and we celebrate and we agree right now that your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we will be your hands and your feet. And we will say yes. We will not say no. And there will be no counterfeit in our lives. In Jesus' precious name. Oh, amen. Hallelujah to the King. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what the work is you begun in China, and it will continue in that nation, and for the encouragement that started with Henry, with his mother crying into the basin. And Lord, that all those years later, you take him, would just open the doors because your favor touches all. Thank you, Lord. Let that touch each one of us deeply in our hearts tonight. And we can contend for the greater things than the impossible and be so filled with awe for God that we're just going to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and he will lift us up in due time. Amen? So as we leave this place today, we celebrate the goodness of God, the majesty of God, and we accept nothing but that. And there's anything that's been following along trying to nip at our heels, we just say no and cast it off and down in the name of Jesus Christ. Can we all say yes in this house? Yes, yes to the Lord and amen? Amen? Glory to God. Let's bless this man of God. Can we do that? So please do that with your pocketbook. Amen. In Jesus' name. Have a great night. We celebrate Jesus in this house and love you all. Thank you for coming. Amen. Amen.